October 12th. That was Aleister Crowley Day. So it's fitting to cover a lot of the occult symbolism in pop culture recently. Its influence on actual satanic murders to the Baphomet. Witch hexes on the right wing in America. American Horror Story. And of course, a smidge of Kanye West. Hi, I'm your host, Isaac. I know you're tired of Kanye West. To be honest, I am too. This guy comes up every week. Every week he does something that I gotta talk about. So we'll do a brief little rundown on that with his meeting with Trump. And of course, we're gonna talk a little bit about American Horror Story. I'll get into why I say just a little. And then we'll get into the dark recesses of October 12th as Aleister Crowley Day. So, now, lately I've been real busy, okay? I've been migrating podcast hosting over to Spreaker. So it's been preoccupying my time. So I haven't been able to keep up on the YouTube videos or the posts because there's only so much bandwidth. But if you do want to follow me on Spreaker, you can head over there. It's Illuminati Watcher. Same show name. And also, before I get too deep into this, I want to send out big ups to Mark from... he's from a band called The Walk. I had a real good talk with this guy. I had a good exchange about his passion for music. And he's in a Christian rock group. Now, typically... Christian rock is not my thing, okay? You're well aware of this. I like to feed straight garbage rap music into my brain. You know, there's just so much stress in my life, I need dumb things to just cram it in there, right? So, but yeah, anyways, you can check him out on thewalk.com. I really dug this guy's passion. But yeah, I just want to give a big shout out to him first and foremost. Also, I want to give you a little quiz here. Okay, listen close. Listen real close. I want you to think, close your eyes, okay? And think about the Monopoly Man. What do you see? Think about that old rich Monopoly Man. What does he look like? Now, based upon preliminary surveys I've done to... and people in my normal life that have no interest in this sort of thing, I found overwhelmingly 100% of all people I've asked described this man with a top hat and a monocle. That all-seeing eye behind the monocle, the one, where's the monocle hook up to your ear? Anyways, you know what I'm talking about, the monocle. But that's not true. It doesn't exist. The monocle does not exist. Illuminati confirm Mandela effect. My dude SMQ, we did a show about this recently. And this is another piece of this weird puzzle that maybe we did die in 2012. That's what SMQ's theories and research are, hypothesizing. You can check out my show with him a little while back, but yeah, you're welcome. I don't have the date off the top of my head, sorry. Bad host. Okay, it was January 2018. That's the beauty of this. I can pause and do this on the fly just for you. I'm going to try to make this very thorough. But yeah, check out that show because it was very curious, and I've seen all these weird Mandela effect things, and if you're like a Mandela effect geek, like you probably already knew that. But I'm not, like, I'm not super into it. I just, every now and then, I catch these weird things, like how the Berenstain Bears is spelled. It's the Berenstain Bears, right? Doesn't make sense. Another exercise we could do real quick. Do you recall in the 1980s, early 90s maybe, there were commercials for the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes or something to that effect? And when I talk to people about that, again, I'd say probably more like 90%, because I actually talked to someone who did not have this memory, but 90% of people I talked to recall the big checks, the balloons, and one celebrity that sticks out in their mind as a spokesman for this group. That is, of course, Ed McMahon, another old rich guy with a monocle. No, he just has glasses, but Ed McMahon apparently has nothing to do with that either. That's all fake news, right? We're making that up. We're in a different... We hopped frequencies in 2012. We're living in a different reality. I don't know how else to explain it. Anyways, Kanye West. I mean, if you think you're sick of hearing about him, I'm sick of talking about him. I've come to the conclusion, Kanye is indeed a jackass. President Obama was right. I think he's really lost his mind. I think back when I made that claim on the podcast about Kanye West being under mind control, I think it was 100% dead on. I mean, he's nuts. Some of the stuff he says is interesting. Like, at least he's saying something a little bit provocative to make one think. But he's borderline nuts. Like, he's frantic when he's was sitting there with Trump. I watched the 20-minute interview. I don't know if it's an interview. It was 20 minutes of Kanye and his visionary stream of consciousness sitting across the desk from Donald Trump while Trump didn't really say much to him, because I think even Trump was like, this guy's lost his mind. You know, Kanye was talking about he wants to put Trump on a hydrogen-fueled I-plane one. And then he showed the world his passcode on his iPhone, which was all zeros, which I thought was actually kind of genius, because it was right there next to the home button. I thought, okay, well, that's not bad. That's not so crazy. But yeah, he did it right in front of the TV, so everyone saw his password. And he said, Trump is on his hero's journey right now. Now, go back to my work and research on Star Wars with the Star Wars conspiracy book, and recall the research into Joseph Campbell with, I think it was called the Hero with a Thousand Faces. And he talked about the hero's journey being represented in Star Wars that most people are very familiar with. But Joseph Campbell was sort of dabbled into the occult realm a bit. So I found it very curious that Kanye would say that kind of thing. And I don't know what Kanye believes or thinks or knows. I mean, you know, maybe Trump is in on this fantasy of all conspiracy right-wingers. Maybe he's the true savior. I don't see it. I don't believe it. I mean, time will tell, right? I mean, it's hard to say who's in this control agenda, right? As unappealing as Donald Trump is, maybe. I'm still holding out to see what happens. He still hasn't locked Hillary up. He still hasn't arrested all the Pizzagate folks or whatever. I think he's just part another cog in the big wheel, the big system. We'll see. So Kanye West went back to Twitter under a new alias. His name is now Ye. And he had a video, this 10-minute video about mind control. That was the words he used. He said, you're talking about mind control, and then talks about how he took an IQ test, and it came back as 130, and he is on some Sigmund Freud Tesla genius level. But honestly, when I researched Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud was kind of looked upon as an idiot, sort of, by the whole psychoanalyst community. Until Bernays put his works out there. So I don't know. I don't know if Freud is considered a genius now or not. But Bernays was able to use propaganda based upon Freud's theories. So, I mean, maybe there's something to it. Freud also believed in penis envy. He believes all women desired so badly to have a penis that they coined the term penis envy. I don't buy it, right? But anyways, not to mention truly smart people wouldn't test their IQ. Because if you think about it, it's really a lose-lose situation, okay? Take the test, and either it's going to come back low, and now you're dumb or whatever, or you change your perspective on yourself and think, oh, well, maybe I am an idiot now. So you kind of like sell yourself short, maybe. I mean, what if your IQ test came back as absurdly low, right? I think that would mess you up. You'd be in your own head the rest of your life wondering if you're an idiot. On the other hand, what if it came back and it did say you're a genius? What if you are on Kanye, Freud, Tesla, 130 IQ level genius? Well, now what? What do you do with that? You go around and you tell everybody about how smart you are. You look like a jackass, like Obama said. Kanye looks like a jackass. But, you know, we'll see. Well, history and the true test of time will see what is the truth here. But I didn't want to spend the whole show on Kanye. We're all very impressed by Kanye and his IQ level. So I do want to talk real quick about American Horror Story, because as you know, there is a new season and it is the American Horror Story Apocalypse. I'm only on episode 5 because there's, I think, 6 episodes completed and aired. And I'm a couple episodes behind because on my DVR I've got much smarter things to watch, like Survivor. You know, anyways, so I'm on episode five, but I've got a lot of requests for the show. People messaging me, asking me if I'll, you know, talk about it a bit. So I want to meet those demands. I've been compiling some notes, right? Like, for instance, in episode 3, I believe it was, I posted on my Instagram feed at Isaac Weishaupt, there's a clip of where you can see the Baphomet in the background, because this witch played by Kathy Bates, in her kitchen, she's got a Baphomet in her little mini altar. And also in the credits, you also see the sigil of Lucifer. If you're not familiar with that symbol, that is the symbol tattooed on the hand of Marilyn Manson. It's very concerning. A lot of people are getting these tattoos of the sigil of Lucifer, or just sigils in general. And that the idea is that they are charging these things with energy, and these symbols are on their skin. And this is the sigil of Lucifer in particular. Marilyn Manson did it, and a lot of the followers followed right behind and did it. It's a magical sigil used by the Satanists. And its sigil is to charge energy into the archetype of Lucifer, the rebel angel, the fallen angel that the Luciferians worship, that we talk about when we talk about the Illuminati. They all seem to hail Lucifer as their true god. Now, of course, they mask this in a variety of forms. But if you read through Blavatsky or Manly P. Hall stuff, they clearly talk about Lucifer as this angel of light and the true savior of mankind. They think that Lucifer can help man evolve into its perfected state, which is, of course, nonsense. That is what Lucifer and Satan want you to believe. They want you to believe that you can become something more evolved and better than where you are today. Because God created you in his image. And they think that Lucifer will do something better. And this is where you get into all this superhero stuff, where they're showing you these evolved mutants that have these superpowers and mankind must rely upon them to save their, weak forms. We talked about this last week with Venom and Captain Marvel. It's got the alien powers, and Little Uzi Vert, in fact, was on last. I talked about him last week too, with his satanic desires for alien contact, because he's a big Marilyn Manson follower as well. I would venture to bet he's got the sigil of Lucifer tattooed on him at somewhere. He's got an inverted cross necklace that, on his Instagram, he was asked about why he carries around this inverted cross, and he made a joke and said it's a knife, which is, of course, a play on 21 Savage and his forehead tattoo. But he avoided the question altogether because he knows it's true. Little Uzi Vert, Little Lucifer, is a Satanist. Now, of course, American Horror Story is all about Satanism. Kira on Patreon suggested that in this new season, they are definitely not being bashful about the Satanism. And my man DJW on the Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes, I retweeted it. He sent some shots of, I think it was episode 6, so I haven't seen it yet, where there's a man who looks exactly like Anton LaVey, and there's the inverted pentagram, obviously referencing Satanism. Because when the, you know, in episode 4 is where things really take off. Episode 1 through 3, it was kind of on my radar, but it wasn't until episode 4 that I really kind of took notice to where they were taking this thing. Because it starts out with their underground, of course. And if you don't know the story, you know, it's some bombs drop and a handful of people survive and they're living in these underground bunkers. And there's like this mysterious group of people that seem to be running the show somehow. The Illuminati, perhaps, right? But in episode 4, it starts out and you see that this underground setting was actually a magic school, much like Harry Potter. That Satanist Harry Potter. The the magic school is teaching these witches, these warlocks, all these different spells. And of course, you see the instructor. If you look on his belt, you will see the B. And I've talked about this in the past on the Justice League episode a couple months ago. The Mormons are obsessed with the B because the B is a symbol for magic. And not to pick on the Mormons, or actually, I don't think they're called Mormons anymore. They changed the name. They are now, I think they call themselves Latter-day Saints. And I've got some friends that are more Latter-day Saints, and I respect them as people. So I'm not trying to bad talk their religion. But if you look at the roots of it, there are magical connections to be made. So without judgment, I will say that the bee that you is so prevalent in Utah, it's all over the place. It's the mascot, it's the baseball team, it's the newspaper, because Deseret means the bee. They're clearly obsessed with the bee, because the Freemasons were using the bee symbolism as well. And of course, Beyonce and the Beehive, that's all the same thing. It's all this magic ritual stuff. As you know, Beyonce got sued for being a witch by one of her drummers, and they dropped it because it was supposedly so preposterous, but it's not. It's the truth. So you see the teacher in American Horror Story Episode 4 Underground, he is wearing the bee on the belt. Very obviously a direct connection there. And what's curious is that the whole episode is about Michael Langdon, who is the Antichrist offspring that occurred from previous seasons. And he's being recruited as the Alpha Warlock by this Illuminati witch coven of men. And of course you see in the episode, he's in a grocery store and he uses magic and mental telepathy to move knives and kill some guy, which is the same crap you see in the superhero movies. It's the same thing. They're conflating all of these occult principles together. You know, Harry Potter and, I don't know, what's a good superhero? Not Spider-Man, you know, the superhero stuff they do. And they're putting it all together. It's the same thing. It's all evolving mankind into something different, using Lucifer as the inspiration. And you'll notice in episode 4, they flash back in time, and you find out that this underground facility actually used to be above ground until they were persecuted because they're witches and they burned the place down, so they put it underground. And the only thing that survived above the ground, and of course you've got an as above, so below reference right there, right? But the above ground, the only thing that didn't burn in the fire was this sculpture, which is of a spiral. And that's what you see on the show. And the spiral, of course, again, represents the evolution of man. We saw this in Revenant and Dark City. And basically, it's an esoteric symbol. And Westworld, it's an esoteric symbol for the evolution of man into something better. And so Michael Langdon, he's a level 4. It's the highest degree, which is similar to Satanism, too, because I think the Church of Satan only has 3 degrees in it. Because in the show, you find out they've only ever made it to the 3rd degree. There's this mysterious 4th degree that only Michael Langdon can hit. But what I'm wrapping this into is that Michael Langdon is dressed up identically to Joey Smits. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. As the story goes, he was up on in Cooperstown, New York, on the Susquehanna River when he channeled the entities, the angels, who gave him this divine word, the Book of Mormon or whatever, right? But what was he doing? He was practicing magic, and he channeled some aliens. Aliens in the form of angels. Now, what the occultists believe, and if you dig through the occult literature, they think that angels and demons were powerful adepts of this occult practice of magic and so on, and that Lucifer was actually the most powerful one, the most deceptive one to utilize these practices. So when they talk about angels and demons, they are considered adepts by these people who follow these esoteric doctrines. Anyways, Joseph Smith, Michael Langdon there, I think the people that put this show together have a very clear understanding of the occult. I think as the seasons go on, it becomes very obvious. And like I said, I'm going to do a final series recap, most likely. It just depends on how deep they go with it. Because I've seen most seasons of this show. I stopped watching a couple seasons ago because the show was good, not great. You know, it should be right up my alley, but I was getting kind of bored with it. But this new season captured my attention. And like Kira and DJW and so many others who've reached out to me on the social medias and whatnot, I'm very interested in it. I am indeed watching it. There'll be more to come on that. Now, finally, let's talk about Aleister Crowley. We're talking about ritual magic. We're talking about the occultist. And we're talking about channeling aliens and demons and angels. Of course, we have to talk about Aleister Crowley. And the reason I bring him up is because October 12th is the anniversary of Crowley's birth. And it's celebrated by his followers called Thelemites as Crowley Mass. Now, the reason I bring it up is not only because of the date, it was last week, but because of Crowley's influence on pop culture. A lot of people don't understand Crowley's influence, right? And Crowley was obviously adored by The Doors and Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and so many others. There's a ton of even rapper Absol's got the album Do Without Wilt, all in honor of Crowley, because Crowley was kind of the godfather of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, because that's what he was all about, especially back in the late Victorian area where he was around, where it was very unacceptable at the time. He liked to push the envelope. He was the rebel, much like the rebel angel of Lucifer. Okay, so people liked him for his antinomianism. And the reason I talk about him is because we'll probably see some kind of Crowley reference on American Horror Story. But B, he was ushering in what he called the Aeon of Horus, the age of the crowned and conquering child. And it seems that our culture is, I don't know. It's hard to say whether culture has gotten better or worse. I mean, that's a very subjective thing. Violent crimes are actually down. But there is an obsession with the occult, and Crowley's desire was to see the abandonment of the Christian faith, as so many other occultists like Jack Parsons and so on did as well. And in this new era, the focus would be on the self as God, man as God, which is, of course, the recurring motif of what all of these people want. So in Satanism, you see tie-ins with that too as well, with this idea of satisfying one's personal desires instead of worrying about gods and sin and all that, right? So on October 12th, Crowley Mass, I don't know if it's related, but I'm going to throw it out there. Down in Brazil, authorities uncovered a site of human sacrifice. There were these killers down there doing human sacrifices, and they were labeled as Satanists by the media. I don't know if that's true. I wasn't down there checking it out, but that's what the media is calling them. They would lure these people over to their property, and they tortured them, and then they murdered them. And they found all these body parts, and they were using rituals to try to gain power and influence. Now that's very similar to these ideas of the witchcraft and the witches and the covens and whatnot, is trying to gain power through ritual. Now, of course, like, if people want to be into witchcraft, like, I don't care. What I do care about is when they get to the level of sacrificing people or animals, right? That's not what I'm in. I feel strongly against that. I feel strongly against doing these rituals, period, because I feel like people dabbling with this are messing with something from another dimension that they don't really understand, because why would they, right? They don't understand what's going on in this other dimension. But at the same time, on the same, well, one day prior, I read about these witches that are doing a hex on Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Now, I'm not a fan of Brett Kavanaugh, but I don't know what's going on here, because the witches had this witch hex. Remember, Lana Del Rey was doing this against Donald Trump. So to me, I feel like this puts people like me in a precarious position, because here I am talking about the dangers of doing rituals and practicing these occult things, not necessarily judging them, but just warning that they're influencing you through entertainment to be interested in the occult. And I question how safe that is. I think it's to fulfill the desires of destroying the Christian faith, honestly. But anyways, so while I am not a right-wing conservative guy, so that puts me in a weird spot here, because it almost proves to a lot of these people like Alex Jones, who are like right-wing conspiracy theorists, that there is indeed an occult agenda against the right wing and Donald Trump. But where I disagree, where the problem lies, is that a lot of these right wingers in politics, they profess to be these great Christians, but then they do things to hurt other people, and that's not really what Jesus' bag was, right? They're more interested in corporate greed. Not all of them. I'm being using broad statements here, but just saying in general, they are capitalist, and while there is a place for that, they do indeed favor the capitalist system, which isn't necessarily what Christ would want all the time. I think there can be a balance between the right and left wing, and that's why I'm an unaffiliated voter, because I think there needs to be a balance, because the capitalist system that America has is probably the greatest democracy, the longest running one in since the existence of this sort of thing. And we could go into a whole argument about that, but the point being here is that, right or wrong, there are occultists fighting back against the right wing. and I find it very curious. And we'll see what happens. There's these rituals against Donald Trump that occur on a regular basis, and now Bad Brett Kavanaugh. So again, to tie this into where we started, Aleister Crowley and his occult influences can be seen manifesting right before our eyes here. I mean, this whole thing with the rituals and the witchcraft being so public, in such a public forum, I don't know that that would have happened 30 years ago. I don't think without Harry Potter, you'd be able to see this sort of thing happen in such an acceptable public manner. Now, I'm not saying let's persecute everybody and start burning witches again. I'm just saying it's an observation. It's just a very different world than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I'm a progressive guy. I think there's always room for reform and changes for the better as we evolve as a society. But it is a very curious phenomenon as to what we are headed towards. And to me, I think that the occult practices and the occult ideas are very prevalent once you understand what to look for. They are very clearly hidden in the entertainment. And your job, my job, is to think them over before we act. I mean, maybe you want to go be an occultist and do witchcraft spells. Like, cool. As long as that's what you want to do and you've thought about it and you're aware that there is a hidden agenda to get garner interest in these things. I don't know why they have to keep it so secretive, but it's definitely there once you know what to look for. Okay, that's my time. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for the reviews you've been dropping on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, so on and so forth. And as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.